Good evening. Welcome back. As always, good to be here. The Lord is good, doing great things still. He wants to bless us still. He's on the throne still. And he loves us still. So we're going to edify him tonight in his word. Heavenly Father, we just give thanks again for who you are in our lives, Father. And we just pray that our hearts would be enlarged so that we can receive more of you, Father. So I'm just so thankful for the opportunity to share your word with my brothers and my sisters. And I just pray, Father, their eyes, ears, and hearts be open to what you have for us, and that we would be able to let go of the cares of the day and focus on what you're doing in our lives, Father. There's so much worldly noise around us. Sometimes we allow you to get drowned out, Father, but our desire is to serve you and you alone. So I'm thankful for what you're doing here in this body, and body of Christ. And I just pray, Father, that we would be worthy of the calling. So we give you praise and honor now for who you are, and even more so for whose we are. Thank you, Lord, for just being our God, being our Savior. To you be the glory. Amen. This week, earlier this week, I had an opportunity to teach or preach, depending on the individual, Ezekiel. My desire, Lord willing, is to, what I've been doing is, I've been in the book of Ezekiel primarily, but once in a while, and I won't say the Lord says, but I'll go to another book. And in and of itself, that's not bad, but I would like to sometimes, before the Lord comes back, get more into the book of Ezekiel. There's so much more that it relates to that are facing us today, which is every book. And I just pray that you'll be attentive to what he's doing. And there may be one or two of you who've heard some of this, because I began Ezekiel 12, 1 through 16. And to go through 17 would have been very lengthy, because I like to touch on every word. And just from just being good stewards of our time, my thought is to go back to Ezekiel 12 and just finish the chapter. There's not that many more verses beyond that, so it may be a repeat, but if the Lord has us repeating it, that means someone needs to hear it more than once. That's the way I look at it. So let's dig in. Ezekiel 12, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, which has eyes to see but does not see, and ears to hear but does not hear, for they are a rebellious house. So I'm looking at this and I'm asking myself, what is a rebellious house? A rebellious house is a house that says, step aside, God. I got this one. That's what a rebellious house would do. That's what a rebellious house would say. A rebellious house would say, I'm not hurting anybody, so it's okay if I worship any idol, something else besides our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a victimless crime. It doesn't do anybody any harm. Or we have to ask ourselves, does it do anybody any good? So that rebellious house said, yeah, I'm having an affair with this man's wife, but it's a symbiotic relationship, so nobody gets hurt. I'm having an affair with this lady's husband, but nobody gets hurt. So what's the difference? What's the problem? A rebellious house says, I'm a self-made person. I got all the trappings of the world, so I don't really need God for anything. So I don't need your religion. And I personally don't refer to that word very rarely. We are a faith-based people. Everybody's religious, even those people who claim to be atheists or all those other things. They are religious. Even those, a rebellious house says, I'm a good person. I don't really need all of this. I don't think all this is necessary. I go to church. And that's good enough. There's no need to pray. There's no need to read the Bible. I'm getting all that through osmosis, through the pastors. So I don't really need all of this. This is just totally unnecessary. That's a rebellious house. Where is that rebellious house? And you can ask for yourself, is your house a rebellious house? What are you doing or not doing that does not edify the Lord? And again, as individual, we the Bible tells us, judge ye not, lest ye be judged. And I believe that. And I don't think we're in a position where we can be judgmental of anyone. Because when we do that, we are setting ourselves up to be the standard. And that's very dangerous for everybody involved. And this message of Ezekiel was addressed to his fellow exiles who were as hardened as those still in Jerusalem. They were so intent on a quick return to Jerusalem that they would not accept his message of Jerusalem's destruction. And he's telling them, Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. But although they were held in captivity, now they have a desire to go right back to where they were. And the analogy that we use, in the Bible, it talks about a dog going back to his vomit. And you ask, why would a dog do that? Why would we go back to something that it was destructive? But when you look around and examine yourself, you'll realize that that nature is in all of us. We could be that dog. We are that dog, return to the vomit. We are that person, that heart that goes back to something that was destroying us, and the Lord took us out of it, yet we go right back to it. It doesn't make any sense. It's insanity, however you want to look at it. But those are the things that we need to be conscious of. Examine yourself. Examine your motive for wanting to go along with hanging on to idols. Hang on to that. And sometimes we want idols that we can control. We want idols that make us feel good. We want idols that give us what we want when we want it without. And that's why some of us have said, I accept you as my Savior, but I will not accept you as my Lord. And that is a lot more common than most of us would imagine because it doesn't make any sense. I want you to give me things. I want you to save me from disaster, but I'm not going to have you rule my life. And that's the attitude that we have, and that is so dangerous, so dangerous. Verse 3, therefore, son of man, prepare your belongings for captivity and go into captivity by day in their sight. You shall go from your place into captivity to another place in their sight. It may be that they will consider, though they are a rebellious house. And what the Lord is calling on Ezekiel to do here, he wants him to see the error of their ways. And he has done that several times earlier in Ezekiel, where he's done some things to show them. It's not just words anymore, but he's allowing Ezekiel to play it out, to show them exactly what it looks like. And he's doing that. He's honoring the Lord in everything that he's asking him to do. And preparing for captivity refers to this dramatic object lesson by the prophet calling for carrying belongings out in a stealthy way, as in an act that depicted baggage for exile, just the bare necessities. You're going into captivity. You don't need a lot of baggage. And so they made the decision about what they were going to do. So the Lord had Ezekiel play this out in front of them. Ezekiel's countrymen carried out such baggage when they went into captivity or sought to escape during Babylon's takeover of Jerusalem. Some attempted to escape were caught in a net, like King Zedekiah, who was overtaken, blinded, and forced into exile. If we're not careful, this is no different from where we are today. We have eyes that We have eyes to see, but we cannot see. We have ears to hear, but we cannot hear. And when, for those of us who are in touch with what's going on around us today, you can see this. Those who think they're controlling this situation, and we're looking at this person as our savior. Oh, don't worry about it. The country's in turmoil, but this person has come along. He or she is going to straighten it out, and we're going to be good again. Absolutely, it doesn't work that way. And the Lord is showing us, those who are paying attention, that he can flip it just like that. And he did. We thought that we knew how this drama was going to play out. But he turned it and showed us something totally different. Something that's unprecedented. Something that we thought we would never see. We thought we could never see this. But it just goes to show us God is in control. And there are going to be so-called prophets and prophetesses who say, well, I knew this was going to happen. And it is possible. God has shown some things, some visions, or placed some things out, or given someone a message for us. The question is, are you listening? How many people were shocked about what is going on today? Not going to get into it. You know, if you don't know the details, ask somebody. Don't ask Richard. But these things are going on around us, and we are, in some senses, subtly being, it's being played out right in front of us, and we're ignoring it. Well, what does he mean, eyes to see but cannot see, and ears to hear but cannot hear? God is speaking to each and every one of us in a way that he knows that we understand, provided we hear him. But there's so much worldly noise today, it's drowning out some of the things that he wants to say. Now, what God will do, what he has done and will continue to do, he'll bring something to get your attention. He'll bring something that he knows is going to get your attention. And he's saying, if you don't want to listen to me, and you say, God, this could have been done a different way. And it was, but we still didn't listen. We still didn't see. So sometimes he's got to up it a little bit just to get our attention. And we've all been subjected to that. Well, why does this have to be difficult? Why does this have to be hard? Because I've tried the still small voice in your life. I've tried the gentle touch in your life. You didn't see me. You didn't hear me. So now I got to bring about something that's really going to get your attention. Sometimes it's tragedy. He'll take a loved one. Or he'll just take someone out of our life that we have strong heart attachment to. He'll do that. Okay, you hear me now. And he will do that. And when it comes to idols, there is nothing outside of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that will allow us to feel comfortable with that idol. And he makes sure that we understand that when we read his word, he says, I am a jealous God. That's pretty clear. You should have no other gods before me. Those idols, those things that we worship outside of him, those could be those things. And sometimes it seems innocent, even to the point of saying, well, everybody's doing it, but that doesn't make it acceptable. Everybody's worshiping money. What's wrong with that? That's common. That's average. And to us, worshiping money is common sense. Until we realize that common sense is not common. It makes us realize that we can't follow along blindly behind the world and do what they do just because it's acceptable. And we see how the world is trying to shape the way we think even now. We see situations where you got people, men, women, who sit in the highest chairs in the land. And they get asked a question like, what is a woman? These are supposedly educated by our world people. And they can't answer simple questions such as that. As we were just talking today, saying all the things that have occurred in our lives in the past few years, and ask yourself the question, where was the church? I've said this before from this pulpit. Where was the church when Roe versus Wade was passed? Where was the church when someone, the powers that be, decided that you can go into the schools and you can teach every other religious system, but you can't teach Christianity? You can't preach Christianity. Where were we when these things were allowed? Where were we when these things were okay? Where were we when someone decided that, okay, we're going to take all the Bibles out of the schools? And they use the, on the pretense of church, the difference between church and state. That was the excuse. It was allowed. Where were we as a church when these things were? And there's much, much more, but we're not gonna belabor that. Where were we when these things? And look at what's happening now. It's only getting more sinful. When the powers that be start to shred and rewrite the Constitution, and they're conveniently taking out things that relate to the God that we believe in. Again, whenever I get to mention this, I'm always conscious of the fact that someone may feel doomed. They may feel defeated. What am I supposed to do about that? What is my job? What is my response to those things? And nobody can tell you except the Lord. The Lord will tell you, but I do know one thing that works 100% of the time. Prayer. Prayer works. And if that's all you've got to offer, I shouldn't say all, if that's what you've got to offer, then offer prayer. Pray for us. Pray for the church. Pray for the nation. Pray for the body of Christ. Pray. It changes things. It's powerful. It's just something that we need to commit to. Verse 4. By day, Ezekiel 12:4. By day you shall bring out your belongings in their sight as though going into captivity, and evening you shall go in their sight like those who go into captivity. I want them to see and be reminded of what this captivity brought about. I want them to see that and say, you know what? I really don't want to go back there again. He'll do that in your life, in my life. He'll show us things that he took us away from and brought us to him. And sometimes we're prone to wander. We're prone to wander and go back to where we were. Well, it's not all that bad. It's just for a season, but I know how to escape it now. Do you really? So the Lord will show you, as he's showing these people through this nation, through Ezekiel, he will show you, even to the point of details, as in verse 5, dig through the wall in their sight and carry your belongings out through it. So they're so anxious to get out of that. They're busting holes in the wall. These are clay walls. So they're doing that. If they have trouble escaping, they're going to that extent to get out of there. And that's what and these houses, this depicts their desperation of trying to escape from their sun-dried homes. And what's these people, the Lord is trying to show them the error of their ways. Verse 6 says, in their sight you shall bear them on your shoulder and carry them out at twilight. You shall cover your face so that you cannot see the ground, for I've made you a sign to the house of Israel. He's called Ezekiel be that example. And to cover your face means that you can't be recognized. The idea of covering your face to be seen as a way to avoid recognition. You don't want them to know. Although everyone's being called to that. Everyone's being called to that orchestrated captivity. Some of them, they're not having a problem with it at all. We don't have a problem going back to the things that were destroying us or are destroying us in some cases. That's not what the Lord would have for us. He's got something better. That's why he called us out of the darkness into that marvelous light. And there are some of us who are creeping in some cases or just blindly going back into that darkness. And examine yourself. Ask yourself, why? And one of the reasons that I can speak for, the flesh is relentless. Absolutely relentless. It doesn't care. You know, the point is to destroy you. So why would you go into something? Why would you be affiliated with something that's going to destroy you? And the reason that we do is because we think that we're in control. I can control this. Yeah, I can control these bad habits. I'm not going to specify, because the Lord has blessed some of us by not going into those dens of iniquity. And I don't know what he did for you. I don't know what he brought you from. But I can tell you for sure that he brought you from something. I know that. There's some of us here tonight who are struggling with these same things. There's some of us tonight who are struggling with things that we struggle with as a teenager. It may not be something that's outwardly. It just may be our minds, our hearts that are just far away from the Lord. That's not what he would have for us. He wants to bless us, and he will, if you're willing to let him. And it was Ezekiel, he said, so, verse 7, so I did as I was commanded. I brought out my longings by day as though going into captivity in the evening. I dug through the wall with my hand. I brought them out at twilight, and I bore them on my shoulder in their sight. He wants them to see this, and just like he wants us to show how what the Lord is doing on the inside is showing on the outside. That's very important, because even the words we say, that's got to come from within. That's got to come from the heart. The way we say it, how we say it, and what we say. It has to be from the Lord. Verse 8, and in the morning the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, has not the house of Israel, the Bejah's house, said to you, what are you doing? And the fact that they're asking Ezekiel, what are you doing, means that Ezekiel is doing what the Lord told him to do. That's what he wants from us. Are you being obedient to the word? Are you being obedient to his word, his will, and his way? And we got to examine ourselves. I'm going to dwell on that, because that's what we need to do. And again, we have to approach an individual as the Lord has called us to. But that's one of the things that he's calling for us. Are you doing what he's asked you to do? Never, don't look around to see what everybody else is doing and say, this is acceptable or it isn't. What he has for you is for you. And we need to be conscious of that, because that's what we do. We feel comfortable if we're in line with what everyone else is doing. Some of us. There's some of us who possess that boldness, bold as lions, to be able to go out and do things that don't line up with the way the world does things. Unfortunately, those are very few. And we say, well, I don't have that gift. Do you know what gift he's given you to glorify him? Do you know? Do you know, just you're encouraging someone just by being here tonight? You're encouraging me, not because I get to stand here, but just the fact that someone cares about what the Lord thinks. And this isn't a situation where we enjoy the company of people who are going to be a Barnabas in our lives. This is an area where we know that I'm not alone in this. To stand against the ways of the enemy. I stand here knowing that I'm not alone. I'm not the only one that struggles with these things. I'm not the only one that struggles with a horrible thought life. Oh, I thought it was me. No, it's not you. I'm the only one that struggles with having to have drugs to cause me to sleep, or drugs to call me to wake up. I'm not the only one. And that's encouraging, to know that you're not alone. And what we need to do, something that I'm going to say every time you hear me talk about the Lord, is fellowship. so important. It's so important to have fellowship with our sisters, our brothers, and make sure that it's a godly fellowship. It's not just getting with somebody just to chat about what's going on in the political arena. It's not good to get together just to talk about your sports team. I said it Tuesday, and I said, what is fellowship? Fellowship is two people who love or like each other getting together to talk about something or someone that they love. That's what it is. And it's up to you to determine what that is. But I pray that that conversation would always be centered around Jesus Christ. Always. No exceptions. And if you're getting together to talk about the Lord, now you strike that delicate balance. And that's the way it should be. And in the morning, verse 8, Ezekiel 12, verse 8. And in the morning, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, has not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said to you, what are you doing? And say to them, thus says the Lord, this burden concerns the prince in Jerusalem and all the house of Israel who are among them. Honoring the Lord, honoring him in his words, in his deeds, honoring him in everything, and that's what he's calling us to do. Verse 11, say, I am assigned to you, as I have done, so shall it be done to them. They shall be carried away into captivity. You may not think of captivity in this sense, but in some sense, we are being held captive. We've been held captive by a world that wants to change a very mindset. We are being entertained to the point of we're willing to cave in. We're willing to roll over and do this thing that we know doesn't honor our Lord. Are you afraid of the gospel? Are you ashamed of the gospel? If you are, then you surrendered. You surrendered. How is the gospel going to go out if we're ashamed of it? How's the gospel going to go out if we water it down so we don't lose friends? How are we going to convince our family, our neighbor, that our Lord cares about them if we're going to water it down? When we do that, we're rolling over. We're caving into the world would have us. They want our beliefs, our love for Christ. They want us to water it down. They want it to be weakened. So less likely that someone would buy into it. Verse 12. And the prince who is among them shall bear his belongings on his shoulder at twilight and go out. They shall dig through the wall to carry them out through it. He shall cover his face that they cannot see the ground with his eyes. And this is the prince. This is who they refer to as the prince. Ezekiel at this time, because these are the top seats in the land. This is the prince, the top seat in the land. So if he does it, that makes it okay. And I have a personal thing with that that I'll share with you, and it has to do with our language. Our language, some words that we use do not edify the Lord. We've heard them. We've heard them, and we hear it way too often. And if we continue to allow those things to come into our ear gates and our eye gates, they're going to affect you. One day you're going to have a conversation with someone that you respect, and that is going to slip out. I don't believe there's such a thing as that. Nothing can slip out that's not in there. And if you continue to allow yourself to be subjected to this foul language, these vile thoughts and ideas, they have an effect on you. No, brother, I know I'm saved, so that really doesn't impact me. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And it may be subtle. It may be something that you don't think of. When you get to hear these words so often, they'll just become part of your vocabulary. Again, not going to be specific. You guys have heard these words. And just the fact that you know what I'm talking about means you've already been subjected to it. I don't have to wonder, what's he talking about? What word? What words? If you know, then you've already been pulled into it. But wait, there's more. As time goes by, the language is going to become more foul. We're going to hear that from people that we respect. We may even hear it from the pulpit. We may hear it in the room during fellowship. And you're going to ask yourself, why do they have to go there? So don't get bombarded with that. You have an obligation to speak against it. Don't be afraid of losing your friends, because a friend would not disrespect you like that. That's not a friend. Maybe an acquaintance, but not a friend. If you're my friend, you know that I don't care for that language. So don't use it around me. Don't use it at all. Verse 13, I will also spread my net over him, and he shall be caught in my snare. I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans, yet he shall not see it, though he shall die there. And when the Lord talks about coming to a place where you know you're going to die, that should get your attention. Why does he want to take you out? Because your sin nature, has gone to the point where he just can't bear it anymore. I've tolerated this for a long time, and I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to allow you to continue to worship idols, continue to have these sinful acts. I'm not going to allow it. I have to do something. He can't look on sin. Says it in his word. So he has to do something. Now, the snare for us and the net for us, we've been doing it. We've become accustomed to that. And so we think it's okay. We think it's okay. And eventually, he's going to say, I just can't allow it. I'm going to wipe you out. And he will. And this word prince in verse 13 makes reference to King Zedekiah, who was always referred to by Ezekiel as prince, never king. Jehoiakim was regarded as a true king because the Babylonians never deposed him formally. This is what happens. This is what happened when the Lord said, I want you to get rid of this nation. I want you to get rid of this person. And then we go halfway. Well, we'll destroy them, but we'll keep the good stuff. And for those of us who've read the Bible long enough, you know quite a few references of that. Well, we go in and we pick and choose the good stuff. Well, I'm just going to wipe out this section, but I'm going to keep this so the Lord and I can divide it up and have a good old time with it. That's not what the Lord called us to do. When he says they need to be destroyed, they need to be destroyed. They need to be wiped out. All the house of Israel, however, show the calamity to fall on Zedekiah. How literally these prophecies were fulfilled can be seen in the account in 2 Kings 25, 1 through 7. In the net and snare were the Babylonian army. He was taken captive in Babylon, but he never saw it because his eyes had been put out at Riblah. Another case of that is in the book of Judges with Samson. He honored what the Lord had called him to do, but he paid a big price. And we can be doing what the Lord is asking us to do, but we're modifying it, doing it in our way. But his mission will be accomplished. His will be done. And we need to be conscious of the fact that if he decides that, okay, I'm just going to take you out, but while taking you out, you're doing my will. We don't really have to go in that direction. Lord, what do you have for me? And he'll give you not just a plan, but he'll give you steps, step by step. This is what I call you to do. Will you honor that? And that's what it comes. That comes down to self-examination. Will you honor that? 2 Kings 25, 1 through 7 says, now it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, on the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came against Jerusalem and encamped against it. And they built a siege wall against it all around. So the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. By the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine had become so severe in the city that there was no food for the people of the land. Could that happen here? Some of us say, well, no, not in the good old U.S. of A. I'm just going to challenge you to go back and rethink that. Look at the way things have changed over the years. I said this Tuesday, go back and examine where our food comes from, most of our food. Go back and examine the people that are controlling our farms. And then as you start to look at that, you realize that it would not be very difficult for them to say, okay, that's it. Let's not provide them with any more food. We've sold out. There's a downside to that. And we say, well, what am I supposed to do about that? Not eat? No. That's not the solution at all. The solution is, first of all, to be aware and then to pray and ask the Lord, what is your part? What part can you play in this? And if it's prayer, then so be it. Can't go wrong. Examine our food source. Examine who our farmers are. And then ask yourself, is it possible that we could be in a situation when the city, there was no food for the people of the land? Then the city wall was broken through and all the men were fled at night by way of the gate between two walls, which was by the king's garden. Even though the Chaldeans were still encamped all around against the city, and the king went by way of the plain, by the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king, and they overtook him in the plains of Jericho. All his armor was scattered from him, so they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon and Riblah, and they pronounced judgment on him. They killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, put out the eyes of Zedekiah and bound him with bronze fetters and took him to Babylon. That's what it came to. Eyes have eyes but cannot see. And the Lord will blind us to certain things. And we would just accept what someone tells us. We're at the mercy of others. And this is where sometimes we cave in. And we'll do things that he won't honor. Verse 14. I was scattered to every wind, all who were around him to help him and all his troops, and I will draw out the sword after them. As we're leading up to this, think about the fact that the Lord always has a remnant. Always. No matter when, no matter where, no matter who, always has a remnant. He always has that group of folks that's with him. He knows who we are. And he's going to bless you. He honors those who honor him. And he will bless you. It's just that, are you willing to take a stand for what you believe in? How that looks, don't know. Ask the Lord, he'll let you know. 15. Then they shall know that I am the Lord when I scatter them among the nations and disperse them throughout the countries. And here we go. Verse 16. But I will spare a few of their men from the sword, from famine, and from pestilence, that they may declare all their abominations among the Gentiles wherever they go. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. He will allow you to go out and encourage, preach, teach one others. He will allow that. He will encourage that. He will support you in it. He will support you in praying for that person that says, yeah, I tried that, but it didn't work for me. Even those. And don't give up. Pray. And then repeat. He will work it out. And don't think that you're a failure because you can't reach that person in your family that doesn't want to know. You're not. Failure is defined by us. God defines it in a totally different way. We define failure as falling down. And God won't do that. Now, he may decide that, okay, falling down is not failure. Failing to get up again and try it again, that's failure. But he will not allow you to fall. He will not allow you. He won't even allow you to stumble. He'll continue to bless you well beyond anything that you can imagine. And he's good. He's real good. And he wants us to be able to stand up for what we believe in. First of all, you need to know what his word says. It's the only one way you can do that. Study to show yourself approved. Well, I go to church, I listen to the pastor. Well, where's the trust? Do you think every word that pastor utters is necessarily true? No, not at all. And then someone you may call pastor may just be a hireling. You got a couple of dollars, a couple of shekels to come up here and tell you what you want to hear. That's a problem. That's a real problem. I'm telling you, he really brought it tonight because he told me what I want to hear. That may not be what you need. Study, read, dig in, and what you will find that at some point, your life is not going to be the same without it. Read the word. Study the word. Meditate on the word. He'll bring you through it. Never give up on anybody. God never gave up on us. If he did, we probably wouldn't be here tonight. But someone is praying for everyone here tonight. Even as we sit, someone's praying for us. They didn't give up on us. They won't give up on us. They love the Lord so much they want to be about his business. Stay the course. God's hand was to be with the enemy as his rod of destruction with only a few left. And that refers to that remnant. Are you part of that remnant? I don't know if you can really know. If you're honoring the Lord, that should be satisfaction right there, regardless of what position you're in. Let God be God. Verse 17. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, eat your bread with quaking and drink your water with trembling and anxiety. Now, to those of us who've heard this before or something similar, because there's a scripture that says, be anxious for nothing. And now, but everything you pray in supplication, must add that part. And here they eat their bread with quaking and drink your water with trembling and anxiety, because you know that that's all going to disappear. So you're drinking anxiously, knowing that it is not going to last very long. Verse 19, and say to the people of the land, thus says the Lord God to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the land of Israel, they shall eat their bread with anxiety and drink their water with dread, so that her land may be emptied of all who are in it, because of the violence of all those who dwell in it. Can you draw an analogy to what he's referring to here? Those violent lands. He says, if I don't come back, nobody's going to survive. And any of us who are sitting here tonight have a very good understanding, or should, about what's going on around us. We can see it every single day. And don't want anybody to be anxious. Don't want anybody to be afraid. But we need to be aware of the fact that some of those among us look at, yeah, that was for those times. No, not true, friends. It wasn't just for those times. And we're gonna touch on that particular verse before we finish here. Then the cities that are inhabited shall be laid waste, and the land shall become desolate, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, what is this proverb that you people have about this land of Israel, which says the days are prolonged and every vision fail? There are some who will say, well, you know, I keep hearing you say that he's coming back. But you know what? My grandmother, my great-grandmother all said that he's not back yet. That's not what he says. He didn't say, I'm going to come back in X number of years. He says, I'll be back. And he means it. And we get caught up into thinking that we've got time, especially if we're younger in age. I got plenty of time. I'm going to go out and have my fun, and then I'll give my life to the Lord. But that's not what he's referring to. The days are prolonged and every vision fails. Tell them, therefore, says the Lord God, I will lay their proverb to rest, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say to them, the days are at hand and the fulfillment of every vision. The days are at hand. That means during your time. That means he could come back at any minute. Any minute. Doesn't matter. Nothing else has to occur in order for him to come back according to Scripture. Verse 24, for no more shall there be any false vision of flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord. I speak, and the words which I speak will come to pass. It will no more be postponed. For in your days, O rebellious house, I will say the word and perform it, says the Lord God. All he's saying here is, I can come back at any minute because I refer to for in your days. That means you are going to be alive. In your days, at least for that generation, you're going to see this. And it doesn't mean it's going to be 100 years from now. It doesn't mean it's going to be 100 hours or 100 minutes from now. He can come back. For I am the Lord, I speak in the word which I speak. For in your house, O rebellious, in your days, O rebellious house, I will say the words and perform it. That means I will cause it to happen, says the Lord God. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, look. The house of Israel is saying the vision that he sees for many days from now. Many days from now. How many days is that? Many days from now, and he prophesies of times far off. Those prophets, oh yeah, he's coming, but you know, I've done my calculations. I've looked at the calendar, and we've got 106 more days, years, whatever. And sometimes people buy into that. I pray that we do not. Because he specifically said, no one knows the day or the time. Very specific. No exceptions. No one. Therefore, say verse 28, therefore say to them, thus says the Lord God, none of my words will be postponed anymore, but the word which I speak will be done, says the Lord God. He's letting us know that he's coming back. He's coming soon. We don't know. We don't know when. Be ye ready. And as you're preparing, look up. The redemption is nigh. And it's just important that we learn, and it just becomes ingrained in our heart that our Redeemer lives. There are some among us, not necessarily this group, who serve a dead God. Our God is alive. It's important that we allow our hearts to capture that. And there is no reason for us to think otherwise. Continue to worship him. Continue to praise him. Continue to read his word. Continue to pray. Continue to seek his will for your life. And there's just some things that I had already spoken about earlier, but I think they bear repeating. Be thankful for all the blessings we receive every single day. Every single one. Even those things that we consider bad, Lord's working it out. And this just may be a way of getting your attention. And I mentioned earlier, sometime it becomes something tragic. But let's not determine what is good and what is bad in the sense of the fact that God is working. Look at look how evil has taken over the world. A Christian should never say that, ever. Because what you're saying, God is no longer in control. That can't be. God is always in control. And everyone that he uses, everything that he uses is a tool. He uses these, what we consider evil tools, to bring about good. He used sometimes these evil tools to cause us to pay attention, to sit up, think about it, pray about it, ask what is he doing. Doesn't matter. God is in control. Be that light and salt we are called to be. Are you? Examine yourself. Are you that light and salt? And if you are, God bless you. But the question, are you? You're not going to be perfect. Even if you're acting the right way, your thought life can change just like that by something that you see or hear. That person can really, really press the wrong button. Sometimes knowingly, but it happens. Be that light and salt we are called to be. Never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Never. Well, you know, I'm in the mall and, you know, I don't want to embarrass myself by talking about the Lord when people aren't comfortable with it. Are we honoring the Lord just so they can be comfortable with it? The gospel is offensive. I know. Some of us know. The gospel can be offensive. And sometimes that's what it calls for. Don't be ashamed. Never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Never cease from praying. Pray without ceasing. Never stop. You've never prayed for everything. Well, I've covered all the bases. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. You haven't even covered the tip of the iceberg when it comes to praying. And it doesn't have to be someone who's close to you. It could be you overheard a conversation about that sister that's battling cancer right now. Pray for him. Pray for her. Don't stop. Always seek opportunities for fellowship. I'm a strong believer in that. I just say be careful. Be careful what arena you go into with this fellowship. Seek opportunities. We were made, we go back to the book of Acts. We should be the way they were in Acts. Fellowship. Never, ever, never allow yourself to feel unloved. Because when you tell me or us that you feel unloved, God's a liar. It's okay, I guess, if you feel that way, but I will always love you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So when you start this unloved, and sometimes it's about feelings when that's the worst thing that you can do. Yeah, I know we feel distraught at times, but we need to remember that God loves us. You can't help it. God is love. There you go. Know that you know that you know that our Redeemer lives. It's important. Lord, I just feel like you've gone away from me. I'm still right here. I'm still right here. I sent my Holy Spirit to dwell with you. And it's not going to leave you. I'm alive. God is alive. The Lord has a plan for each and every one of us. Are you listening? Or is the noise of the world louder than his voice? It's up to you to determine that. Are you listening to what he's saying? Or is that noise so loud? Is the internet more important to you? Social media is more important than you than the word of God. And with some people it is. I could name names, but I won't. That voice is loud and it will overtake you. It will cause anxiety. It will cause fear because it's always changing. You can't believe everything that you hear. You can't believe everything that you see. Are you going to worship the Lord? Are you going to spend more time in his word than you do on social media? It's up to you. Choose this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, this church body, we choose to serve the Lord. How about you? Father, we just thank you for this time. Thank you for just allowing us to come together, Father, in this place and to talk about something that we love, someone that we love. And I pray, Father, that I just pray, even if there's one word, one nugget that my sister or my brother gleaned from this, Father, hallelujah. I'm just so grateful that you give us an opportunity to share. And I'm thankful for how you blessed us way beyond what we can ever imagine. So I pray, Father, that if it be your will, that we would wake up tomorrow morning with new mercy sprinkled on our pillows, Father, ready to serve you again, eager, anxious. Can't wait to dig in. Can't wait to see what you have for us, Father. And I know you have great things. And I pray, Father, that we would learn to appreciate your love, your kindness, your mercy, your grace, your forgiveness. And I pray that we would really begin to understand, if we don't already, how much you love us, Father. Always with us, always protecting. I pray that you surround my sisters and my brothers with that ring of fire, Father, to keep them away from the evil one. Thank you for how you blessed us. And we know you want to do so much more. I just pray that we would allow you to inhabit, Father, that we would learn to dwell with you and you alone. Let go of the idols of our lives. Pray that you would take them away. And I pray that you would encourage my brothers and my sisters, Father, those who think they have to clean up their act before they come to be with you, Father. Just speaking from experience, know that in and of ourselves, not only can't we don't really want to. We love our area of sin. So I thank you for just encouragement through your word. Again, may you receive the glory of all that we've done, all that we said. In the name of Jesus, our soon returning King, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you guys. Thanks for coming out.